you're talking about it, we're talking about it. 890 AM WLS. Happy St. Patrick's Day from all of us at Chicago's talk station, 890 AM WLS.
Deborah Rowe on WLS. I'm sitting in for Eileen Byrne. As a matter of fact, I'll be back again on Monday, and then Eileen returns on Tuesday. You know, before we move on and speak with Aaron Russo, I want to say thank you, though, to Agent Ross, who called in to comment on just how the media are handling the reports of suspicious activity. And I just want you to know, Agent Ross, I appreciate you. I do. We're just running a little bit short on time, so I thank you again. All right, in studio right now, sitting here right across from me, is Aaron Russo. Hey there, Aaron.
Hey, Deborah. How you doing?
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be back here.
And you say back here because are you a native Chicagoan or you just lived in Chicago?
No, I lived in Chicago. I had a nightclub up on 4812 North Clark Street called the Kinetic Playground.
I don't know. I can tell you this much. In the last month, I have heard more talk about the Kinetic Playground. I've never heard of it before.
Well, it was before your time. You're too young. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's okay.
The Playground was a club I built here back in 1968.
Okay.
And it was during the time of the Democratic Convention, the big convention here, that all the riots broke out and everything. And back then, you know, the club was built to bring in big music acts. Like, I was the first one to ever bring Led Zeppelin to America, and they play at the Kinetic Playground here on North Clark Street.
Now, my dear friend Bob, who I'll be surprised if he doesn't call you and call up this morning, he told me that when he used to hang out at the Kinetic Playground, he was a long-haired, quasi-hippie, not really a hippie, but that's where he saw Zeppelin. He said he was right up on the stage with his elbow on the stage, and he described some kind of configuration you had at your place where I guess you could kind of see all around. I don't know what he was talking about.
Well, I'll tell you, the club was a very big club. We held almost 5,000 people in the club, and we built these huge, massive screens that were hard, not soft screens, but hard screens, that went in a 360-degree circle.
That's what he was telling me.
And for hanging from the center of the room was like the spaceship that was also a circle. And out of this platform, we used to project, all kinds of images on the screens. And it was very psychedelic for its day. It was very, very advanced. And so we'd have the music playing, the lights flashing, strobe lights going. And people used to come to the club, and for $5, they would see Led Zeppelin. We had shows of Led Zeppelin and The Who, and all on the same show. I mean, Joe, we had one show, I remember, with Led Zeppelin, Vanilla Fudge, and Joe Cocker, all on one show. It was amazing.
That is amazing.
For $5,
That's unbelievable.
And they'd see it twice. You know, you could stay all night if you wanted. So we used to have people just come to people. It was like a home for a lot of people. They used to just come in and spend the whole night there, watch great music, watch great light shows, and just party, have a good time.
That was really innovative. My friend Bob is here. I wanted him to at least have an opportunity to say hello to you. Hey there, Bob.
Good morning, and good morning, Aaron.
Hello, Bob. How are you? Do I know you?
You'd know my face, but I'm sure you wouldn't remember my name.
I'd know your face, even from all those years ago, huh?
Maybe. there were some times I used to stand with Surfer from the Outlaws at the front door. And
Surfer! Oh, my God. You just brought that back to my memory. I remember Surfer and all our karate guys who were guards at the security.
I was wearing a gi over there with my nunchucks behind my back before people knew what they were.
Oh, were you a guard at the club?
Yeah, for a couple times.
Oh, hey, nice to meet you. So you worked for me back then?
Yeah, briefly, but most of the time I spent just killing brain cells.
Well, Bob, I wanted you to at least, I'm glad you called in, I really am, to say hello.
I wanted to talk about that. You know, I saw it was a great venue, and it was small. You know, you can't go and see Zeppelin now without having 20,000 people. Back then, there was about, 1,500 in that place?
5,000.
Was it 5,000?
Yes.
You said your brain cells.
That was packed. That was. I remember when Gracie Slick came in with Jefferson Airplane, and we had a little over 5,000 people in there. It got so hot in there, her eyelashes fell off on the stage. She never forgave me.
Wow.
Some of the best times of my life there. I played Buddy Rich's drums there one night.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
I had a great time. Deborah was saying, I saw Zeppelin the first time they came to Chicago at your place. With my elbow on the stage, and I had to keep on moving it so Robert Smith wouldn't step on it.
That was the first time they ever played in America.
Well, Bob, let me...
Yes.
I want to say thanks, Bob, because we don't have a long time with him. Yeah, but I'm glad you were able to check in, because he also mentioned to me about the Outlaws being around your club as well.
Yes, the motorcycle group.
The motorcycle
group.
Right. All right, but you are here, and we'll talk more about some of the old days here in Chicago to talk about a new film that you have produced. And I have actually teased the film as saying a controversial film.
Yes, very.
I think it's a very controversial film, and before we get to that, you were a nightclub owner.
Yes.
But you've also been a major Hollywood producer.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Well, when I had the nightclub in Chicago, I was my youth, and I was just starting. And the nightclub here was basically the first thing I did on any kind of major scale in my life. And that led me into other things. After the club, I started managing Bette Midler. And we created Bette Midler into a giant superstar. And that led me to start producing Broadway shows, where I won a Tony. I won an Emmy for a TV show I produced with Dustin Hoffman and Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm.
Produced the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy.
Which was on this week.
Was it on this week?
Yeah.
Oh, get a royalty check.
Yes,
yeah.
You will get a royalty check. It was on just this week.
Right, and The Rose was on this week, too.
Really? That was one of my favorite. Well, actually, both of those are two incredibly good movies.
Thank you.
I love them both.
Thank you very much. I like making movies that have a social statement yet entertain people.
Mm-hmm.
My new movie is called America, From Freedom to Fascism, and it discusses what's really happening in America today, the truth of what's going on in this country. And people say it's 10 times what Michael Moore did with Fahrenheit 9/11. It's getting that kind of reviews. People are going, standing ovations. They're packing the halls to see the movie. It's pretty amazing what's happening. I've spent 2 years of my life making this documentary.
Speaking of your life, the introductory information about you, Aaron Russo, libertarian.
Yes.
That's right across the page here.
Well, I'm a libertarian in the sense that I believe in the American Constitution,
yeah.
And the Constitution is a very libertarian document. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Ben Franklin, they were all libertarians. They believed in individual freedom of the people, and government was your servant, and that people were not the servants of the government. It was the other way around.
And I want to talk more about that. Again, when I was told about your film a few weeks ago now, I have to admit to you, and just my worldview is that, you know, obviously, and I'm sure you do, you've had a tremendous success here, that this is, in fact, the greatest place, I believe, on God's great planet, this country here. I was a little bit concerned that this was going to be more of a Michael Moore in the sense that your title, America, From Freedom to Fascism. We'll talk about it. Is this like, this is a bad place to live? This is a terrible place? Citizens don't have, you know, liberties and all that kind of stuff? You'll explain to us what it is. I'm very curious about it. I'm not sure I share it, but I'm very curious to know. And if it's something that you've worked 2 years on, I'm sure you've done a lot of research on.
I'd say so.
And I keep an open mind, so I'm very interested in hearing exactly what Aaron Russo has done for his next film project. 591-8900, the phone lines are open for you. I'm Deborah Rowe, this is the Eileen Byrne Show, and you are listening to WLS. In for Eileen Byrne on WLS, and it is again my pleasure to have in studio with me Aaron Russo. And Aaron, of course, he is a guy who has given a lot to this city in terms of entertainment and to the nation and indeed the world with his many films that he has produced, including Trading Places and The Roles. And then there's just a whole laundry list of other movies and television credits that he has. But right now he is here in Chicago because he has a screening. Is that tonight?
The screening is tomorrow morning. It's in St. Charles, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the movie is From Freedom to Fascism. And it's at the Arcadia Theater on East Main Street in downtown St. Charles, Illinois. And if you want to see what's really happening in our government today, and if you don't like the polarization of America and red states versus blue states and Democrats versus Republicans, and you want to see where the power really lies, come see the movie.
All right, and you're going to talk more about the movie on the other side of our network news break. Also, we'll take your calls right here on WLS. It's 10:07. Welcome to the second hour of the Eileen Byrne Show, and I'm Deborah Rowe in for Eileen. Phone lines open, by the way, at 591-8900 in studio. Aaron Russo is here. We've kind of been leading up to teasing about his new film, America from Freedom to Fascism. All right, Aaron, tell us essentially, and I know we've been talking off the air, so I know that you really could talk about this film until the close of business today, but just in the thumbnail sketch, what are you asking people to come and see?
Well, let me explain something. You know, many people say, you know, early in the session, you brought Michael Moore, just like a Michael Moore film.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense that it's a documentary, it's like a Michael Moore film.
Okay.
I mean, I saw the Michael Moore film, and as a director, a producer of movies, I appreciated what he did from the creation standpoint. But from my point of view, Michael Moore plays into the problems of America because he's part of the problem of polarizing America,
mm-hmm.
of Democrat versus Republican.
Okay.
You see, and my point of view, it's time to stop being good Democrats, it's time to stop being good Republicans, and it's time to start being good Americans.
All right.
And what it means to be an American, not a Democrat, not a Republican, not a red state, not a blue state, be free states. You know, and America was founded on the principles that people were the master and government was the servant. And that no longer exists in America. Government is now the master.
Why do you say that? I mean, aside from like to me, what jumps out in my mind, we get the Supreme Court ruling on eminent domain. Now, to me, that bespeaks what you're talking about, but I have a feeling you're talking about a lot more.
Well, I'm talking about many things. There's many issues, not just one issue. I mean, I think what the Supreme Court did on eminent domain is a disgrace. I think that your right to private property is part of our constitutional rights, our freedoms, and the Constitution was designed to limit government power. The Constitution doesn't grant us freedoms. We have all the freedoms. What the Constitution does is limit government's power over us.
Mm-hmm.
It defines what they're allowed to do. And America no longer functions with the Constitution. And fascism, the word fascism, sets many people back.
Yeah.
And I deliberately call my movie that because fascism, the definition of fascism, is what Mussolini said, who is the biggest fascist of all.
Mm-hmm.
He said fascism should really be called corporatism. It's the blend of big government and big corporations stifling the people. They're working together to stifle the people. And that's what I find happening in America. So I started out this movie to make a movie because I had heard for years that there was no law requiring people to file an income tax. And I said, that's so interesting. I keep hearing this over and over mm-hmm. and over again, and I want to do some research to find out what the truth was. Because I've been told over and over and over again, you have to pay taxes. You know, that's the law.
Right.
And then I had people saying no. So when I started doing some investigation, there was this group called We the People who were asking the government, petitioning the government under the First Amendment to show the law that requires people to pay a tax on their labor. And I was wondering why the government would not show that law. Where was that law that allowed that? And so I started doing research on the movie, and I went down to Washington, and we shot it, and I ended up interviewing IRS Commissioner Sheldon Cohen, who wrote the 54 tax code, and who was general counsel to the IRS, and a very, very big tax attorney today.
So tell me this.
Yeah.
The film, is it primarily, because I know the We the People Foundation, that organization, that's the gist of what they talk about.
Yes.
Are taxes and the fact that we are not, we're not supposed to be taxed, or the government doesn't have the legal standing to tax us, I guess, the federal tax level. I don't know all the specifics of that.
I'll help you straighten it out, though, if you want me
to. All right, but here's what I really want to get to. Is this the gist of the movie, though?
Well, if you let me explain, I'll really give it to you.
Yeah.
So I went into this to find out about the tax situation.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've discovered is that there is no law that allows the government to have a direct unapportioned tax on your labor. The government can tax many things, you know, almost anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
But under the Constitution, if it's a direct tax, it has to be apportioned. And if it's an indirect tax, it has to be uniform throughout all the states.
Okay.
So the government can tax anything they want,
mm-hmm.
basically. But if they're going to have a direct tax, as an income tax is thought of today, it would have to be apportioned equally amongst all the people. There's no such thing as a graduated income tax. It doesn't exist. Now, in 1913, they passed the 16th Amendment, which they said allowed them to have that income tax on your labor. And in 1916, the Supreme Court said, sorry, in eight different times, the Supreme Court has ruled that a direct tax on your labor is not legal, and they cannot do it.
All right, well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
If the Supreme Court has ruled eight times,
this
is unconstitutional, but it continues to happen, there's something in place that allows it to continue to go forward.
It's called a police state.
All right.
It's called force.
But now, here's the problem with this.
Yeah.
I don't want more taxes taken out of my check. I promise you I don't. I'm certain that people, you know, that have less and have a great deal more feel the exact same way.
It's not a question of what you or I like. It's a question of what law is.
But
we're not discussing here the goodness of the tax,
no,
whether we need the tax.
Not at all.
We're discussing whether there's a law that allows this to happen, or is it being done by force?
But here's my point.
Yes.
I don't want it any more than I'm sure nobody else does.
Right.
Laws are in place that allow for this transaction, if you will, to happen.
No, they're not.
All right. But
the Supreme Court, the lower courts cannot overrule the Supreme Court. Supreme Court is in charge. Right, and lower courts have to abide by Supreme Court rulings. The Supreme Court has ruled on eight different occasions that there is no law, a direct unapportioned tax on your labor. They can tax, as a matter of fact, in the Eisner versus Bruchaber case, in the Eisner versus McCumber case, the Supreme Court ruled that income is defined as a corporate gain. Not your labor, not your wages, income. The word income means a gain. The concept is that you own your labor is private property to you. You own your labor. And when you work for somebody and they give you something in return, that's an even exchange and it's not taxable.
All right, you're going to have, obviously, ample opportunity to lay your case out in your film.
Sure.
I'm not arguing, you know, I can't do that. You've done more research on it than I.
Yes.
The point that I am making to you, if everything you say in that film and your point on the income tax and taxation, all of that is dead on the money.
Right.
The reality of the matter is that despite how Americans say we don't want to be burdened more with our taxes, we go on because we just want to, you know, live our lives and do for our families and build our businesses, even with this burden, as you would argue, this unlawful, illegal burden being imposed on us. I guess what I'm saying, so how do you get Americans, if all of this is what you say, how do you get Americans then to rethink the structure? Because I'm thinking that for me, I mean, if Aaron Russo is saying everything that's right on the money, I don't have the energy, the time. I don't see how anybody could possibly reverse any of this. So the best thing I can do is to just do what I've been doing. Go to work and try to figure out a way how to live a good life now. To me, it just, I'm not saying it's wrong, but what I'm saying is, how are you going to make a change because you've done the research and you've done the film? What is it that will encourage people to see this differently or to take different
actions? Well, I think what's going to happen, I mean, to me, in my movie, I personally don't care whether people pay income taxes or not. I never tell them not to pay an income tax because to me it's really irrelevant. All I'm trying to do in the film is point out that there is no law that allows it, yet the government does it by force. Now, that's the first step. Then the film goes into other things that they're now doing by force. See, once you accept the fact that they're doing it by force, then you start accepting the fact of what else they're doing. Like they're planning to put RFID chips into people.
Yeah.
Putting RFID chips into identification cards. Well, that's not America. And the movie gets into all those issues about how we can let the government chip us so that since the Federal Reserve, the thesis of the movie is that in 1913, America changed from a free country into a country that is evolving into fascism. Because in 1913, two frauds happened. You had the tax on your labor was the first fraud, and the second fraud is the Federal Reserve System came into being without a constitutional amendment, and it's one of the major planks of the Communist Manifesto. And the Federal Reserve System is run by private bankers who create money out of thin air, right? And because they have that ability to issue money, as Mayor Rothschild said, give me control of a nation's money supply, and I care not who makes its laws.
All right.
And because they make the money, they control the laws of this nation.
He is Aaron Russo, and I have to say, I'm sure for a lot of people this sounds as if this is a topic for Coast to Coast with George Norrie. But it's something that you have dedicated 2 years of your life in researching, and you're not the only person who has looked into these matters.
Do you want to be chipped?
I don't want to be chipped.
Okay, so how do you stop
I don't
it?
Have concern at this point, at this
you
juncture.
Should be.
We've got more show
okay.
to go. We're going to open up our phone lines to Aaron
sure.
and let people also weigh in on this. It is St. Patrick's Day, and taxes go on, so Aaron Russo is here to talk with us about all of this. 591-8900 on WLS. 890 AM, it's the Eileen Byrne Show, and I'm Deborah Rowe. Aaron Russo is here. Aaron Russo, a very successful man, a man who has had a successful club here in Chicago where he has hosted incredible rock acts from, you mentioned Grace Slick and Jefferson. At the time, they were Airplane. Airplane at the time. I know the metamorphosis there. And Led Zeppelin and on and on and on. He has had tremendous success in Hollywood as a film producer, as a television producer on Broadway. But now he is doing something that I would imagine is the work that he is most passionate about, I would imagine, because...
No question about it.
His new film from America, Freedom to Fascism. By the way, Aaron told me during the break that if you want to take a look at, a trailer or just a...
Trailer?
Yeah, from the film, you can go to freedomtofascism.com. Now, let me say this. In talking with Aaron, and a lot of the things that he is talking about, and we had a good discussion, and I hate we did it off there, but you could probably get a glimpse of what he had to say about the port deal with Dubai. I actually think that he's on the money with a lot of things. Here's my whole point, and this may sound defeatist, and I'm very much an optimist, but I think that if we weigh ourselves down with trying to deal with these shadow members in the government and the usurpation of our rights and all that kind of stuff, you just wind up having a nervous breakdown.
Well, if you're that vulnerable.
Well, that's what I think.
I'm not that vulnerable, you know what I mean? I mean, I look at it as I have a choice of either being a free person or a slave. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be a slave to these people. And America was different than all other countries in the world because we had a constitution that was based on the sovereignty of the individual and government was the servant. And I know if I have a servant at home, I don't have to report to the servant.
Mm-hmm.
The servant reports to me. But yet what's happening in this government, the government has all these secrets. They don't tell us anything anymore, but yet they want to know everything about us. We report to them, and I'm sick of it, and I'm tired of it, and I won't have any part of it.
Is the government evil?
Yes.
You think it's evil?
Yes, I do. I think it's evil, because they're making you slaves. And that anybody that takes away your freedom is evil. Okay, anybody that increases your freedom is good. Government is, and that's why we have a constitution, because government power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the founders of this country wrote a constitution that would not allow that to happen unless we allowed it. So I believe government is evil. Yes.
Wow, well, I disagree with that, but that's Deborah's opinion here.
In
a free society, we've got a right to think that.
You're not a free society.
Okay, so I can't think that way.
You can think whatever you like to think.
All right,
but. If it's your measurement that matters, if somebody's going to make you a slave and force you to take a homing device in your body and force you to report to them and suck your labor away from you, I think that's evil.
All right. Well, let's talk with some of our wonderful listeners. First up, there's Dan in Springfield on WLS. Hey there, Dan.
Hey, guys. Aaron, very nice to talk with you.
Hey, Dan. Nice to talk to you, buddy, I hope.
Hey, I love trading places. Couldn't stand Bette Midler, but that's my opinion.
Well, you're entitled.
Hey, does your movie go into how how to handle this, or does it just point out the problem?
No, this is definitely a call to action. There's definitely a call to action, and what I believe has to happen in America is you have to cut off the head of the beast, and to me, the head of the beast is the Federal Reserve, because that's what they use to manufacture money out of thin air, and because they can manufacture money out of thin air, they own everything. They own the government, they own the senators, they own the congressmen, you know, they own the corporations. The biggest corporation in the world is the Federal Reserve System. You never see that. It's a private bank, and this private bank in 1913 got the legal ability to manufacture money out of thin air under a fraud. The Constitution is very clear that only Congress can regulate money and the value thereof, and these private bankers took it over, and because they've taken it over in a very methodical, slow process, they have created a system where they're in charge. I mean, I have a quote in the movie from Robert Reich, who was Bill Clinton's cabinet member, saying, "The dirty little secret is that Alan Greenspan now runs domestic policy in America.
Yikes. Now,
the International Monetary Fund runs our foreign policy. And the president no longer needs a declaration of war from Congress to declare war."
All right, Dan, thank you so much for your call. Let's grab Bill in Orland Park on WLS. Hi, Bill.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you got this libertarian. What's the difference between libertarian and independent?
Well, a libertarian is a person who believes that you own your own life and that nobody owns you but yourself, and as long as you don't commit violence, theft, or fraud, you're free to do what you wish with your life, you know, as long as you don't hurt other people. And the Constitution is a libertarian document. Thomas Jefferson was libertarian. James Madison was libertarian.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Another question?
Sure.
When you write to the United States Congress and get the voting records of the independents and the libertarians?
Yes.
How come they all vote Democratic 98.9% of the time?
I don't know any libertarians that have been in Congress, so I can't imagine that's the truth.
Are there any that's been in Congress?
No.
Well, they're listed on the document.
Name me one libertarian who's in Congress.
I don't have it in front of me.
Well, there's never been a libertarian.
Bill, let me thank you. I think your point, you know, the party, you're part of that, and you're saying
I'm a libertarian in the sense that I believe in the philosophy.
I think his point was that those that identify themselves, and you would say, except for the libertarian, because there hasn't been one in Congress, but he's saying those that say they're independent, they go down
the
line.
Well, I can't speak for independent people.
For that.
I have no idea.
All right.
No, libertarians don't vote Democratic, and they don't vote Republican. They both vote freedom.
All right. He is Aaron Russo. Lots of people want to talk with you about your film and the points that you are raising in Freedom to Fascism. I'm Deborah Rowe, in for Eileen Byrne. We'll take your calls here at 591-8900 for WLS. Byrne Show, and I'm Deborah Rowe, sitting in for Eileen Byrne, and I'll be back on Monday as well. And then Eileen, well, she returns on Tuesday. We have in studio with us Aaron Russo. And Aaron, we actually have just so many different things that we could talk with you about. He is here to talk about Freedom to Fascism. We've talked a bit about his stellar career in entertainment, also entertainment on films and TV and Broadway, but also right here in Chicago. His new movie, though, is Freedom to Fascism. It is not one of your theatrical releases in the sense that you have some big studio behind it. I would imagine you put a big chunk of your own money in this.
I've worked for 2 years of my life doing this movie, and I've put a lot of money to make the movie. I didn't ask anybody for anything. I put it all through my efforts and the people who volunteered their time and to make the movie, because people care about this country, and this country's in the throes of, it's almost like we're about to fall off this cliff, and I'm trying to turn the car the other way and stop us from falling off, and there's nothing more important in my life and probably in anybody else's life listening to this show than stopping the headlong slide of this country into totalitarianism.
I have been watching during the break the trailer from your movie, and I have to say I'm impressed. You have a former IRS commissioner. You've got a lot of people
in this piece. We have IRS agents in the piece. We have the former IRS commissioner in the piece. We have congressmen in the piece.
Mm-hmm.
We have many, many, many intelligent people in this piece all discussing these issues and what's happened to America. And I can tell you folks out there listening to the movie that we are in serious trouble in this country. And unless you wake up and get active and do something, we're going down the tubes big time. We have a constitution that was that made us the greatest country in the world, and it no longer exists.
All right, listen.
And I'm asking you one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please go to www.freedomtofascism.com. The movie, there's a trailer of the movie up there. Look at the trailer. If you like the trailer and you're interested, please go to St. Charles, Illinois tomorrow and watch the movie. There's a screening in St. Charles, Illinois tomorrow at noon. The doors open at 11. We want everybody to see the movie and to spread the word.
All right, let's say hi to Jerry and Valpo on WLS. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning.
Hey.
Well, Deborah, I'd like to compliment you. I'm just flabbergasted. Your stock raised about 1,000% with me. I always thought you were one of the neoconservatives that grace this station generally,
mm-hmm.
Who support the Project for a New American Century. But
mm-hmm.
I'm a patriotic constitutional conservative and certainly not a neo.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I wanted to ask Mr. Russo, and I really appreciate your efforts, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate what you're saying.
Could you just explain briefly that there is a mechanism to run our government by tax funds that don't touch on to the labor of each of us?
Well, of course. I mean, as an example, many people say to me, Aaron, and this is also covered in the movie, you know, if we don't have an income tax on your labor, how are we going to pay for roads? Well, that doesn't pay for roads. What pays for the roads is a tax on gasoline. What pays for education are local property taxes. As a matter of fact, what you discover in the movie is that almost 100% of all the money that is paid in income tax goes to pay interest on the debt, okay? And a lot of that goes to the Federal Reserve bankers and to central banks around the world. It's not about the infrastructure of our country. It goes to pay the interest. And the question I ask people is, why does America, the government, who has the legal authority to print money, to make money, have to pay interest to borrow it and let the Federal Reserve make it? And we pay the bankers from our tax money, this interest, when we can do it ourselves tax-free. Why is the government doing that? And the reason why they're doing it is because they're controlled by these bankers.
All right. Jerry, let me thank you for your call. I appreciate that. And again, we've got lots more people to talk to. I have to ask you the question that I personally believe the vast majority of the listeners mm-hmm. are asking or thinking for sure.
Sure.
All right, Aaron Russo, you have made your case. Explain to people how, again, I think I asked you this earlier, how do you turn it around then?
Well, you turn it around by first by creating an awareness, which is why I made the movie, so people know how they're getting royally screwed. You know, how this country is really running. They have to understand that. They have to know what's going on before they can change anything. You know, all people do, they work hard all day long. They try to raise their children. You know, two parents are working. Nobody has time to know anything.
But, so, people do have a sense that they are being overburdened, overtaxed, that their rights are being encroached upon on some level, even if we're talking about people who see nothing in the way of what you're talking about, that the evil bankers or anything like that, there is still, I think, just this general sense that there's just too much going on. They're really pressuring us now. All right, so what I'm saying is maybe awareness is on one level is the issue, but I'm thinking there are a lot of people that may not be consciously aware, but subconsciously they know that we need to change things.
Yeah,
so
things are wrong.
From that point,
My point of view is very simple. We have a Congress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the Congress is either going to be run by the people of this country, who it's supposed to be run by, or it's going to be run by the bankers. And the Congress has the legal authority to shut down the Federal Reserve System. They can do that anytime they want. So my point of view is shut down the Federal Reserve. Do not vote for anybody running for Congress, Senate, doesn't matter what, unless they're willing to sign an affidavit saying, under penalty of perjury, If they get, if they're in office or they get in office, they will vote to shut down the Federal Reserve System and take them out of business and stop this headlong rush we have into globalization, this globalism, you know, where what I call the One World Order. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it.
That's right.
They make it sound like, oh, it's some weird conspiracy. It's not. That's what the whole thing with the ports was about. You know, they wanted the United Arab Emirates to take over the ports because they're promoting globalism. After 9/11, you know, they came back and said, well, we have to have ID cards and we need RFID chips in our cards, and they want to look at our shoes when we get on a plane, and they want to do all these things. But yet, they're so worried about terrorism, right? I know now, if I were the president and I was worried about terrorism, first thing I would do is close off the borders. How can you be worried about terrorism? How can you be worried about terrorism? Ask the American people to do all these things to take away their rights and their freedoms, and at the same time, at the exact same time, allow everybody to come over the borders whenever they want. And yet they say they're worried about terrorism. You know why? Because it's they're pushing a one-world government, and you look at their actions, not at their words. Their actions tell you the truth.
Now, I have to give you this much. I'll give you that 100% because that's the one question, and I make no, I'm not ashamed. I don't make any apologies. I'm a supporter of the president. That has been one of my two areas that I have long criticized him for, and it's just a fact of the matter.
You should criticize him because he's a puppet of the bankers. That's why you should criticize him. It doesn't matter who's in office, Hillary Clinton or George Bush. The same things are going to happen to this country in the big picture. There'll be little differences, yes, but the fact of the matter is they're both controlled by the same forces.
But the point that you make also about the open borders, I think everybody has always wondered about that. We're fighting terrorism, and that's a reality. There were 3,000 people killed. We go into various other parts of the world. We have seen acts of terrorism, but the question does, I think, pose a very troubling question. It does. But we are still allowing millions of people to crawl over.
Because it's a phony war on terror. It's a phony war on terrorism.
Right.
It's a war on your freedoms. They use terrorism as a way to take away your freedoms. It's not a war on terrorism. It's a war on Americans' freedoms.
Here again, there's the point where we disagree. I think that we are engaged in an actual war on terrorism. And if you don't believe that, go over there and say hi to that guy over in Iran, that nutcase there. Let's say hi to... Well, we got so many people. Some want to talk about the film, but some want to talk about your older films. So let's break it up a little bit and say hi to Mike in Chicago on WLS. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Congratulations on your show.
Oh, this is Eileen's show. I'm filling in.
And well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And first, and also, Mr. Russo, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
I was in my truck listening to, I was just flipping the stations, and all of a sudden I just started hearing you guys talk. And I'm a Chicago actor myself, and I've been fortunate to do a lot of stuff, thank God. And it really sounds interesting. And there's so many things. I mean, I know we don't have time for everything, but one of the things I was going to ask you as well, how can we bring back the productions back to Chicago and also to give the opportunity, because most of the movies that come into Chicago, for example, they have already their cast coming in from L.A. or New York. And Chicago has so much good talent to offer that all we need, is a chance.
Well, let's let Aaron answer that. I think that's a concern lots of locals have.
You need to have scripts that originate in Chicago, where Chicago is the setting, for one thing, or where Chicago is being used for another city. And you need to arrange financing here in Chicago so that movies can be made here. If the funds are raised elsewhere, you know, movies where they're shot is generally based on what the script says.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I flew out here on a plane with Harold Ramis, who's a Chicago guy, very nice guy. Oh, there's a cue coming up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I hear the music.
Oh, there you hear the music. Mike, that music actually does mean that we're right up on our break, but I think that's advice from a professional here. Aaron Russo, don't move. We've got a few more minutes, another segment, 591-8900. His movie is Freedom to Fascism. You can check out a trailer at freedomtofascism.com. This is WLS. If you're listening to WLS, I'm Deborah Rowe, in for Eileen Byrne. We kind of flipped the script and all the things we had planned to talk about this morning. Had to kind of push him to the side tonight because you have been such a good and provocative guest, and it's really been a pleasure having you in studio, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
A couple of things. We have about 2 minutes, and I think we can get them both.
May I say one thing?
Yeah.
When I did the interview with the IRS commissioner,
yeah,
do you know he actually said that Supreme Court decisions don't apply to the Internal Revenue Service?
How can that be?
It can't be. There you go.
Well, I wanted to say hi to Rose, who's calling from Michigan. She's been incredibly patient, and I didn't want to wrap the show up without saying hi to her. Hey, Rose.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to have Aaron Russo's movie coming to Michigan on Sunday.
Oh, really?
When he finishes up there in Chicago.
Now, do you know Rose, Aaron?
I'm not sure who.
Hey,
I'm
Aaron,
not...
this is Rose Lear.
Oh, hello, Rose Lee. I remember you from Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Rose, by the way, just so you know, you didn't make it into the movie, but I remember you, and Rose has some incredible stories to tell, which we don't have time for today.
All
but
right.
She's an amazing woman.
Well, Rose, thank you. I just wanted, she had been waiting like an hour from Michigan, and then she was very thoughtful to call up. All right, again, your movie is Freedom to Fascism, and people can check out a trailer and find a little bit more about the film itself at freedomtofascism.com. But tomorrow, the movie will be showing at the Arcadia, or no, the Arcata Theater that is in St. Charles, downtown St. Charles, 105 East Main Street at Route 64. And again, Aaron Russo.
And if you go to the website, Freedom to Fascism, you'll see where it's playing Sunday in Detroit, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, rather. And you'll see the trailer. Please, if you care about your country and you want to live in a free country, go to the website, spread the link to everybody you know, and let people know we still stand for freedom in this country, and we will not allow the government to take away our freedoms.
All right, Aaron Russo. Any guy that could produce The Rose and Trading Places and all of that other sort of stuff, I am just happy that you were here. Shantae Garth.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Aaron. Thank
and
you,
God
Shantae.
Bless you all.
Thank you, Jeff Hollywood Hackle. Hey, Reverend. No Guinness tonight now. All right, and thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your St. Patrick's Day weekend.